I'll show you what elves do. You'd be surprised. I'll show you what the elves do. Now, are you agreed with me that you'll get your eye off your set, or group, or fellowship, or denomination, and see off them at those elders, and I'll show you what real elders do. All right, are you ready? I mean, I've only got to show it to you in the Bible. And I sometimes say, now, if I show it to you in the Bible, will you believe it? And will you receive it? The Bible tells us what elders do when they're in the right place. Chapter 4 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Here's John. He says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a door opened to you in heaven this morning, and you could nip in? Wouldn't you like to? Would you like to do that? Really, you'd like to do this? A door opened in heaven. Let's go in. Come on. We're all going together. Take my hand. We're all going. It's safe here. You're safe here. You're not in this Pentecostal atmosphere where you're not in a Church of England set up when you get there, and you're not in a Baptist or a Methodist set up or in a WEC idea, not when you get to heaven. Won't be any missionary societies in heaven. They'll all have been missioned in, and that's a marvellous thing. So here we are then. He says, first voice which I heard was of a trumpet. It wasn't a sly little whisper out of the dust. The first voice I heard was like a trumpet talking with me and said, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. Now, I want you to see that you're going to see the things that must be. Now, you've no option about this. None at all. We don't want a revised version of the Bible. We want the truth. They must be. Amen. Let's go into it. Immediately, I was in the Spirit. Now, you'll always be in the Spirit if you'll hear God talking to you and will say, yes, Lord, if that's what you say. You'll always be in the Spirit. One of the easy ways to be in the Spirit, if you want to know, whenever God opens something to you and you listen to him talking and you just obey what he says, yield to him, you'll be in the Spirit. It's as easy as that. You should never be out of the Spirit. And there's an immediacy about being in the Spirit too. And you're in. There are no gradations to it. You're in. I saw a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. Now we're having a look at the original elders now. And I want you to notice that they were clothed in white raiments, and they had on their head crowns of gold. I take it all the elders in your churches are like this. They're in white. You know what I mean. And they're really kings. They've got crowns on their heads. They're not trying to give vain advice to young novices. These are men that have conquered in the fight. These are men that are wearing the crowns. These aren't men that go and fight amongst themselves at deacons' meetings and elders' set-ups. These aren't people that are bossy and quarrelsome and nasty. They sit down there on their seats, clothed in white raiment, and they've got crowns on their heads, and they reign in life. Hallelujah. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four living ones, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings round about him, and they were full of eyes within. They had, as you will see, if you look at these beasts, it tells you about their eyes. And it's a very, very wonderful thing. They were full of eyes behind, verse 6, before and behind. So they had foresight, and they had hindsight, and they had insight, for they were full of eyes within her. That's right. Foresight, hindsight, and insight. Amen. I tell you, we're really there. And these that are full of foresight, hindsight, and insight, they don't ever rest day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, this is what the elders do. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And they're always doing this in heaven. If you read through the next chapter, this is a throne of a vision of the inscrutable God before Calvary. Fifth chapter, you come to Calvary. The next sight he sees is the Lamb on the throne after much weeping. In the fourth chapter, it's all for creation. When you get to the fifth chapter, it's all redemption. Let's have a look here. Oh, let's read the fifth chapter, shall we? I like this, don't you? You'll get your turn, Norman. If not this morning, this afternoon. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed, with seven seals." Now you see in chapter 4 you get the revelation of the throne, but redemption and all that was to do with it was a sealed book. All right. "And he sees a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to look upon the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four living beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living ones and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song. Saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made it unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the living ones and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Hallelujah. The Lamb was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, you're in here, beloved, every creature, is this true in your experience? Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor. This is what Jesus was slain for. Now he's receiving it. Eulogistically, of course. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And over they go again. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. That's what elders do. They show the youngsters how to worship. They fall down. They just fall down. They're overcome with a glory. They're overcome with a passionate worship. They're overcome with a sight. They live nighest the throne, next to the living ones. Those four living ones, they live there in spirit. That's where they live. I was in the spirit. Amen. The elders set the terms. Well, do they? Do they? Or do they sit back and wring their hands about the exuberance of the youngsters and think that old Mrs. Jones won't like this as she comes? And I wonder, I couldn't bring my neighbour into this, you see. Snobbery and pride. Amen. That's hating your neighbour as yourself, not loving them as yourself. The Lord, beloved, has said that the elders, The elders are to set the tone of the worship. They are to fall down and worship him. Their vision is to be clear, not just of, oh God, thank you for this lovely autumn day. It was the hottest day we've ever had. Thank you for the beauty of the leaves at Bulstrode. Thank you for the marvellous gardens. That's all pre-redemption. When they see the Lamb, they forget about creation. When they see the Lamb in the midst of the throne, when they see him who holds all time and events in his hand, when they see him breaking the seals, do you see it? Do you see it? When you see that everything's set there, when you see there's nothing to fear, when you see that nothing can go wrong, when you see that everything is right, because it's in the hands of Jesus. Oh, it's so marvelous. And when you realize he was slain to receive all this, and when you see that you're holding it up because of your behavior and attitude, if you're not very careful, you will fall down before him. Come on, let's fall down and worship him. Shall we? Are you ready to fall down on your face, Norman? You'll be fit to be a preacher and a leader if you are. Amen. In the midst of the throne this morning, listen, you see him, a lamb. Just as he'd been slain, Calvary there in the throne. The offering accepted, the total sacrifice, the beautiful Jesus there in the throne. But notice that he's standing, he's not lying down exhausted. He's standing, risen from the dead, all powerful. Glory in the midst of the throne. That's where he is this morning. And has a door been opened in heaven? And if by the ministrations of the Spirit your heart has been transported there, and it's embedded in the heart of one who stands as the Lamb, though he be strong as a lion, there in the center of the throne, your life is hid with Christ in God. And it isn't a text you believe, though you do believe it. It's a reality you're experiencing. Amen. And power and honor and glory and blessing and everything belongs to Jesus. And you have an experience foreign to mine, though once I knew it, if this be your lot. If you don't want to get up and magnify and glorify him, if you don't want to give him every ounce of power in your being, for all he was slain to receive it, if you don't want to get up and honor him with every honorific phrase, though it's not merely honorific in the grammatical sense, that you can lay your tongue to, if you don't want to pour out your bowels, if you don't want your heart to come out, if you don't want your blood pressure to rise and pour all out to him, I don't know you. You're in a foreign experience from me. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I don't know you. That's what he meant. I don't know you. You've got to be known. Hallelujah. Glory. And words like praise my soul, the King of Heaven, are very lovely. But they fail miserably. Though they may be an aid to my sluggish poetic abilities. Oh, hallelujah. I want to pour out everything upon it. Don't you? Don't you want to fall down at his feet and love him and worship him? Eh? So yeah, but not in front of you. We're sorry, there are no private compartments in heaven. I mean, if you want a private compartment, it'll have to be hell. I expect they're building them down there. I don't know. But there aren't in heaven. thousands upon thousands. All together. Glory. Hallelujah. I want to get up. If he can say something about Jesus that I don't know, I want to hear it. And I want to say it too. Hallelujah. I want to be in. I'm going to have everything that man's got. He's only got it for me. And you too. That's all he's got it for. It's got to be given away. And if you're one of these very seclusive, private kind of people, you aren't really in the clue at all of it. It's all got to be given away. That's God's secret. See? He gave his lamb away, and lo and behold, he's standing in the middle of the throne. There he is. What do you think of that? That's the way it's done. Praise God. I'll give him to you. Come on, all you elders. Let's get up and worship the Lord. There isn't room for you all to fall headlong on your faces here this morning. But if your spirit doesn't come up and see this thing, and enter into this thing, and if by John's vision, as he says, and I beheld, you aren't benefited to see that it's what we have seen, and that which we have heard, that our hands have handled of eternal life, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You don't get fellowship down here. All fellowship is up there. Come up, brother, unless I won't have fellowship with you. Come up, sister. I can't. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Amen. So if I don't have fellowship with a man that's absolutely yelling his head off, praise it. Yes, that's right. They all do it up there. The first voice he heard was like a trumpet. I mean, that was the first thing he heard. Oh, dear, oh dear. Mind you, that's better than tambourines clanging. I don't like those. Well, I'm being honest. I'm not saying people shouldn't do it because I didn't like it. I'm just telling you I don't like it. Hallelujah. My wife would get on all right here. She ought to belong to the Salvation Army. She thinks a brass band's marvellous. I think they're horrible, but there you are. That just shows you how two people of opposite tastes can live and have fellowship and love and move on. But glory be to the name of the Lord. You've got to get used to trumpets blowing when you come in this realm. I suppose that God won't have anybody asleep in the Spirit. He says, wake thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. That's right. And so may the Lord move us in to the Spirit this morning. I'm going to stop now, and we'll just love the Lord, shall we? Go on, fall on your face. When you fall down, you're overpowered, I should think. God doesn't want to knock you down. He knocked Paul down when he was Saul of Tarsus. After that, he fell down. Frequently. You can go with his adoring spirit in some of the glorious, superb movings of his heart in his epistles. He was a man who fell down.
Jesus.
And loved and worshipped.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Go on, fall down.
Jesus.
Be no longer proud and stubborn and upright. Bend your... Go on. Bow your knees. Fall on your face. Come on, your loved beloved. Come on. This is your natural element. This is what you were born again for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
kindred, tribe, and nation, bowing down in exultation, crying love, their adoration, worthy to the Lamb.
Amen.
Every kindred, tribe, and nation, bowing down in exultation, crying love, their adoration, worthy to the Lamb.
And again, Norman, that belongs to me.
Every kindred, tribe, and nation, bowing down.